Allen.
I thank you. I thank you. Okay. Thank you. This is a better turnout for press conferences than I'm accustomed to. I want to say thank you, first of all, to the people of Illinois who showed their independence and showed they wanted an independent United States Senator, and I shall be that. This morning I received a very gracious phone call from Chuck Percy congratulating me, talked to my wife, talked to my son and daughter, told them they'd done an excellent job of campaigning, and I appreciate that phone call. He also indicated he would help in a transition in any way he could. One personal note, if nostalgia is in order at this kind of an occasion, the seat I'm going to be holding is that was once held by Paul Douglas, who stood for compassion and common sense and decency. I do not claim that I can be a Paul Douglas, but it provides a goal for someone from Illinois. Finally, let me just say that I think the tremendous victory of the president was a tribute to his qualities of leadership, but not a repudiation of what I think is a basic feeling on the part of the American people that they want to help the less fortunate in our society, a feeling that they want to move in the direction of restraint in the arms race, and a lot of the other things that that I have stood for, and that Fritz Mondale stood for. And while Fritz Mondale is was a decisive loser, I think he can hold his head high. I think he has stood for the kinds of things that I think a great many people in the United States continue to want to stand for.
Senator Simon, I wonder if we could ask you, you've been basking in the glow.
There are a few partisans here, you may have noted.
When you're through basking in the glow of the victory, I wonder, the serious job of being a senator, what are the top items on your agenda? What do you feel the need to go to work on quickly on behalf of both Illinois and the nation?
The top item on my agenda right now is getting a little bit of sleep. I really have a kind of a two-pronged effort. One is to move rather quickly on the whole problem of the decline of the industrial base of the state of Illinois. And I intend to do what I can to provide leadership in that area, and I hope within a few weeks, don't make it too few weeks here now, but I hope before too long to have some announcements in that area.
Senator, what were the major...
Let me just say, the second part of that is obviously the legislative agenda. The number one item on the legislative agenda has to be the deficit. We have to move on that quickly. I hope we can move with a bipartisan commission and resolve what is a huge cloud hanging over the economy of this nation. Then beyond that, what I'll be doing will in part be determined by my committee assignments. I have already indicated some months ago to the leadership in the Senate that I would want the Education Committee as one of my committees, because that's an area I've worked in hard. Beyond that, I have not indicated, and I want to, after our family takes a week off to loaf a little, then I'll take a look at where the vacancies are and what I want to do.
If I may follow up, what could you give us any specific on where you think you're going to be heading on this whole issue of jobs and the economy in Illinois? It's been such a good campaign issue, and yet it's such a difficult issue to really get in there and make a difference on statewide.
Yes. I don't want to overpromise in this area. I'm not going to be coming up with dramatic solutions, but I am going to be coming up with a very specific program that will involve the federal government, will involve state and local governments, will involve industry, will involve labor unions. I will be outlining a program that I think can make a difference in Illinois.
Senator, yes, about the downstate vote a little bit and how that came through to you, what areas in particular were important?
The question was, what about the downstate vote and how it came through for me? I have not seen the final vote totals. I don't know if their final vote totals are in yet, but clearly we did well downstate, better than a Democrat ordinarily does. And particularly gratifying, frankly, was the vote I received in my home base down in deep southern Illinois.
Senator, yes. In the last days of the campaign, your campaign was helped by an announcement from the government that unemployment had gone up in the state of Illinois again. And then Senator Percy responded by saying that was just a blip in the statistical scheme of things, and you made a great deal of that. Do you think, as you look back on the campaign now, that that might have been the thing that finally put you over the top? Isn't that?
When an election is so close that you win by 60,000 or so votes, and I'm not sure what that final total will be, obviously any one of a number of things could be key. And I don't know how you quantify those things. So it's very difficult for me to make a judgment.
Senator Percy.
I'm going to take him ahead of you, I hate to tell you.
I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but if you called to thank Michael Goland or Steve Gibbett, and do you think that you owe them anything, or do you think they helped your cause?
Well, I did see Steve Gibbett occasionally during the campaign, and he made a fine impression. Who he helped, I don't know. The figures I've seen shows that that was not decisive, that particular vote. Maybe that when the final vote is in, that it will be different. Michael Golan, I've never met. I saw him. I recognize him from his picture in the newspapers at the one debate. But I've never talked to him on the phone, never met him. I did what I could to discourage him from doing what he did. Right back here, yes.
Senator Percy spent so much time trying to link himself to Ronald Reagan, even though during the time that he spent in office, Ronald Reagan was there. He did not really endorse Reagan's policies that much. Do you think that he hurt himself more than helped himself by trying to link himself so closely to President Reagan?
Well, I would partially disagree with the assumption of your question. I think he did. He was one of the top three in the United States Senate supporting the president's economic policies. In the area of foreign affairs, he accepted virtually in toto those policies. And my instinct is that what people want is for a senator to use your independent judgment. And whether that is a Republican or a Democratic administration, they expect you to ask the question not, does the administration want it, but is it good for Illinois, is it good for the nation? And I intend to be that kind of an independent senator.
Senator, yes. A couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, there was a movement by Democratic senators, by and large, the Songuses, the Bradleys, the Christopher Dodds, for pragmatic liberalism to try to bring, in effect, the Democratic Party back to a more rational center. Do you see that there's even a more crying need for that now, given the Reagan mandate yesterday?
I think the party has to be pragmatic. I have always felt that. I have shunned labels. People ask me whether you're a liberal, conservative, progressive, what. I have always shied away from those labels, because what is conservative to one person is liberal to the other, and the other way around. I do think we have to show that we are a party of fiscal responsibility, and we have not always demonstrated that. I think, second, we have to show that we are a party of compassion. And I think the public understands that, but we should not move away from that. And third, I think we have to show that we are a party of vision, that we have an understanding of where this country has to go and what our dreams should be, an individual, a community, a state, or a nation that does not dream is an individual, a community, a state, or a nation that's slipping. And one of the things that I think we have failed in is to provide that kind of a dream. And frankly, one of my regrets in this campaign is that we got so involved in negative ads that there was not enough thoughtful discussion, not enough of an opportunity for people to sense what kind of a vision or a dream does this candidate have for this state and nation.
Senator
Bill?
Because of the experiences of your own campaign, what do you think ought to be done to avoid that kind of thing in the future? Would you want to be any part of finding ground rules or some process for avoiding that kind of mudslinging?
Yes, if I were to go back and do it again, I would suggest that we have a committee of three people who would screen ads, not for content, but for accuracy. Not to shape our viewpoints, but to make sure that we are telling the truth. And I think it would slow down some of the abuses that have taken place. A committee that might be, say, three deans of schools of journalism or three deans of political science that could look just voluntarily, not suggesting it should be the law. I think that's one area. The second area is clearly we have to change the way we finance campaigns. And to raise those are our fundraising people speaking back there.
To follow up on the question about where you think the Democratic Party should go, how do you read the electorate, particularly in this state, which as all of them, most all of them, overwhelmingly re-elected the president? What are they saying to you with your victory? Are they trying to hedge that support for the president, balance it in some way? What do you think?
Well, I think they want checks and balances. I think a great deal of how people respond is how you frame the questions. For example, if I take a poll in Illinois on whether or not we should cut back on foreign aid, I can tell you the results are going to be overwhelmingly to cut back on foreign aid. If I ask a second question, do you think we ought to help hungry, starving people in Ethiopia or somewhere else, the answer is going to be overwhelmingly to do that. One of the functions of a political leader is to bring out the best in people, not the worst in people. There is a little of both in all of us. And I think we should frame questions in such a way that we move in the directions that we ought to move in our society. And I think our party has to do more of that. Yes?
Simon, did you expect such a large black turnout, and how much did Mayor Washington play in your success?
I did not expect the kind of percentages that we received in the black community. They were overwhelming. And there's no question Mayor Washington played a very key role. He was magnificent, not only with the endorsement, but the morning before the election, he was down at the bus stop, 6:30 in the morning, campaigning with me, telling people to vote for me. And let me add, Edward Doleac also played a very crucial role in this campaign. The 10th Ward, for example, gave me a 12,000 vote majority. And Edward Doleac did everything he could to get ward committeemen to work hard for me. Both Harold Washington and Edward Doleac played a very key role in my campaign.
Yes. Senator Percy said this morning that although you have won, the president has won by a huge amount, and that you have gotten the message that we cannot afford more entitlement programs, etc. Have you gotten that message? Is that what the voters have told you?
I think what the voters want is fiscal prudence. And sometimes they may be entitlement programs. Doesn't mean we don't examine what entitlement programs we have. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't create occasionally some new entitlement programs. We face choices. Do you buy an MX missile, or do you do something for people who really need some help in our society? And so they're pragmatic choices that we have to make. I don't think we should adopt hard and fast rules.
But again, how do you actually explain the fact that you've won?
Just a second. Yes.
And there is a feeling that people were not able to go along with him and say, okay, I'll vote for him. But here at home, I'm going to split my vote. How do you explain how you came up with that picture?
I would point out that 4 years ago in my district in deep southern Illinois, Ronald Reagan carried 21 of my 22 counties, and I managed to win. Not by very much, but I managed to win. I think the people in my district, probably the most conservative district in the state of Illinois, were giving a very practical message. They said, we like Ronald Reagan personally, his style of leadership, and I think style of leadership had a great deal to do with his overwhelming re-election. But I think the people in my district also said they like someone to work on bringing jobs to southern Illinois. They like someone who's practical. I think I have been practical. I think I will be practical for the state of Illinois. And I think one other thing that people want is they want people who have conviction, who have some sense of direction. While I do not always agree with Ronald Reagan and his sense of direction, I think they perceive that about Ronald Reagan.
So, but how do you feel about the fact that one fallout from your victory may be that Jesse Helms takes over as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee? This morning he's sounding a lot more interested in that job than he was during the campaign.
I think it's very unlikely to happen. He made a pledge to the people of North Carolina. He ought to keep that pledge. That's number one. And number two, the Republican caucus in the Senate has to be aware that it would be a public relations disaster for them to permit Jesse Helms to become chairman of that committee.
Senator, given the size of President Reagan's mandate and your talk here of the need for fiscal prudence, I'm wondering if you're thinking that by political necessity, if nothing else, you're going to have to go along with the president on some of these programs and dealing with things like the national deficit. Do you see yourself as having to do that?
I don't see myself as having to do anything. I have never opposed legislation simply because one president proposed it or opposed it. I'm going to continue to call the shots as I see them to be an independent United States senator.
As the new senator, what will you do or can you do to help bring Harold Washington and Edward Oleak closer together, or is your job to stay above the fray?
Well, I am not promising, I have not promised to solve that problem, and I will not promise to solve that problem. I intend to continue to get along with both of them, and where in practical matters I can bring them together to work on things, I intend to do that. I do get along well with both of them. One of my abilities in Congress has been to work well with conservatives and liberals, Democrats and Republicans. It may be from time to time I can contribute something, but I am not here pledging that I'm going to resolve all the problems of the state of Illinois.
Mr. Simon, you talked about the stylistic popularity of Ronald Reagan. Nobody disputes that. But I think that most people who analyze his success say that his social agenda has a lot to do with it. The fact that he's really touched a nerve in a large segment of America having to do with religion and family and some of those things. And I wonder, you oppose most of his positions on his social agenda. How big a battle do you see in Congress on some of those issues, school prayer, abortion, in the next few years? And do you see yourself having to move a bit toward Mr. Reagan to keep up with the public sentiment in Illinois as well as across the country?
I guess your question fundamentally is, what is the position? What is the responsibility of a United States Senator? Is it to lead, or is it simply to reflect public opinion? I've never bought the latter concept, and I think what we need is leadership. Now, that does not mean that I don't, I understand the yearning that people have for moral values and idealism. I think the question is, what is the proper role of government in these areas? And I think here there will be times when we can find areas of agreement, and there are going to be times when we're not going to be able to work things out. I, for example, Cardinal Bernardine mentioned that we ought to get the pro and anti-abortion forces ought to get together to see if there are areas where we can find some agreement. I think that kind of thing ought to be explored.
Do you see yourself changing in any of those ways based on what you've seen the electorate say yesterday?
I don't see myself changing on that basis. I'm not going to be, I'm not a poll reader. I'm going to be changing as you and the citizens of Illinois provide information and I learn more about issues. Obviously, you do modify your position. But I'm not going to be changing my position because all of a sudden something looks popular or unpopular. You get the last question, ma'am.
Can you talk about the Democratic Party needing to be more pragmatic and to show more fiscal responsibility? Do you think that will stop what the Republicans are terming as a realignment among groups that traditionally have been Democratic and shift over to Republican for one reason or another?
I think that realignment is exaggerated. Every election, people talk about a realignment. I can remember after the 1964 election, there were people who said the Republican Party is dead. After the 1972 election, there were people who said the Democratic Party is dead. The only realignment is both parties have to have good policies, good candidates, and generally when a party provides good candidates and good policies, you stand a reasonably good chance to win, no matter what the area. I think that shows independence on the part of those neighborhoods. I don't think that that means that those areas are gone any more than my carrying some traditionally Republican counties downstate means that suddenly Republicans don't have a chance in those counties.
Senator, what are your immediate plans?
My immediate plans are to take a nap as fast as I can. And we are going to go. The family's going to go on vacation, and I'm not telling you where we're going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't need a prepared statement.
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't think it was a prepared one, but semi-prepared. Can you just a little bit so I can put both of us down? Thank you. What's new? Nothing?
New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire.
You were supposed to give us the day before the election, I hate your guts speech.
No, you're getting it now.
What happened? We missed it.
Well, you mean number seven?
Yes.
Well, you can have a permanent number seven if you'd like one.
How many times do you vote?
Pardon?
Yeah.
Early
enough. How many times did you vote?
Can I put this? Can I put this right up like this better? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That okay? Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Mm-hmm. How many times did I do what?
Consider getting back in line and voting. How many times did you
vote? That was enough.
What do you got to say about that?
What, are you ready, you?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have the opportunity to talk to anyone last night because we got out very, very late and we were concerned about what the final numbers were and, in fact, didn't have numbers in final numbers in many races. So rather than talk to you concerning what happened yesterday, without the fullest of information, I decided to have this press conference this morning. My evaluation of what happened and occurred yesterday in the county of Cook and the state of Illinois is as follows. It was a major victory for the Democratic Party, in particular in Cook County. This win in the U.S. Senate race by Paul Simon is one of the two Senate seats picked up in the country. We had a net gain of one congressman as well from the state of Illinois. In this Reagan landslide, we were able to retain the majority in Springfield in both the Senate and the House. In Cook County, we were able to elect each and every person on the county ticket, including judges and retention judges. We, for the first time in the history of the Democratic Party of Cook County, for every candidate running below the office of president in the townships got 40% or more of the vote for the first time ever in the history of the Cook County Democratic Party. We feel, and I feel, that it was great support shown to us by the Democrats and by the people in Cook County. They did, in fact, disagree with us as far as the nominee for president, but after many of those voters voted for President Reagan, they returned back to the local Democratic ticket and to Paul Simon as well. Even in the Lyndon Johnson landslide in 1964, not all, in fact, very few of the Democratic Party candidates below the level of president received 40% or more of the Democratic vote, of the vote in the townships.
Say that again.
In 1964, in the Lyndon Johnson landslide, which was, in fact, a landslide, I think he left Cook County 680,000 votes ahead. Not all the Democratic Party candidates, county candidates, and other candidates received 40% or more of the township vote. In fact, most did not. In that Johnson, and in this Reagan landslide, they in fact did get 40% or more. In 1972, in the McGovern election, Cook County was not able to carry George McGovern. In fact, he lost Cook County by approximately 200,000 votes. It appears now that Walter Mondale is going to carry Cook County in the area of 30,000 votes. I would like to now throw the floor open to all the questions that each of you will have. I'll get everybody.
Mayor's people came down into the City Hall press room this morning in anticipation of your press conference, and they handed out a whole slew of statistics. And I'd like to give you some of these and get your response.
Sure.
Because their claim is this, that they claim they've singled out 29 wards that where they feel that they had direct influence.
Which 29 wards were they? Are they listed?
You want me to read?
Are the wards listed?
Black, Hispanic.
Black, integrated and Hispanic.
And North Side Liberal.
Right, and North Side.
Lakefront.
Okay.
29, they claim that they had direct influence in those areas. They argue that in those areas that Mondale and Simon had votes, percentage votes, ranging in the area between 90% to 96%. Then they handed out another sheet that shows the areas that they claim that you have influence, the remaining 21 wards.
Thank you very much.
I want to get your response.
Sure.
They claim that the percentages from Mondale ranged in the area of 33% to 60%, and they argue that that shows that they had more influence and that Simon and Mondale should thank them rather than you, and that future candidates in Cook County should come to them first rather than to you if they want to get elected. How do you respond to the general situation?
Well, I'll get to the response last. I'd like just to remind people of a few things. First, we hear a lot of things concerning the political structure and how people get elected and what happens during elections. If you recall, just in the primary, this organization sponsored and supported Walter Mondale, and he and the group that you're talking about now did not. Walter Mondale, in fact, was elected. We've heard talk in the past 4 months about a great registration drive, and Mr. Gardner and company said there would be 200,000 additional registrants that they would be responsible for. The exact number is 215. We heard in the past 10 months how that present chairman of the party would no longer be the chairman of the party, would in fact be defeated in the committeeman elections, and the people that got elected in the committeeman's race in March, and their supporters would in fact be able to muster sufficient votes to have a new chairman of the party. None of those things have come to pass. If in fact one has 29 wards under one's direct influence and quote-unquote control, it would appear to me that just a short period of time ago in March, you would have been most successful in achieving your goals of changing leadership in the Cook County Democratic Organization. It also is most understandable to me that one can do anything one wants with statistics. I'm into winning for the candidates that I support and that this organization supports. It should be noted, in case it's no surprise to the folks that brought those statistics to you, that even prior to their ascendancy into office and direct involvement in political machinations, that it's been a unrefuted statistic that the black voters vote in the 90 percentile for Democratic candidates in general elections. It should also be noted that and I don't really think going into black and white and getting into this game is very productive either for the Democratic Party, for the city of Chicago in particular, for the county of Cook in particular, and for anyone. I don't think it accomplishes anything. I don't think it's important. I don't think it's relevant. And I don't think it puts us together to accomplish the goals and solve the problems that we have here. I think it's a mistake to even consider it. You brought the question up, so I'll address it. It's also a statistical fact that Paul Simon ran behind Walter Mondale in the areas that he is talking about. Whereas in the areas that he is trying to refer to me, Paul Simon ran ahead of Walter Mondale. What do all these statistics do? And what does this guesswork mean? I think we can sit around for about 24 hours and try to make evaluations and get into head arguments about who did what to whom. I think the important thing is one should ask what, in fact, did that group do in those areas, aside from a mailer?
Were you disappointed?
Aside from a mailer, what was done? Nothing. The black voter has been traditionally Democratic, voting in the 90th percentile. That has occurred again. I think it's counterproductive, and I think it's wrong for us to always talk about black, white, Hispanic, especially when we're talking about winning and losing for candidates of our choice. I think I would much prefer to state that, in fact, in the county of Cook, there were more people who happened to be white who voted for Walter Mondale and Paul Simon than those who happened to be black. But the only way you can elect Paul Simon is to have everyone together. When you count the vote at the polling place, you don't designate it a black vote or a white vote or a Hispanic vote. It's a vote for Paul Simon. It's a vote for what you're trying to accomplish. It's a vote for the principles that you're trying to carry on. And we did it against the landslide, and Paul Simon was elected. It's a monumental victory. Now, if someone wants to make something of that and do that in a racial matter, I'm not going to be party of it. I'm just delighted that Paul Simon won. I think he's good for the state that he won. Everybody's going to get a chance.
Let's talk about the race where it does matter. Let's talk about the 23rd Legislative District, if you would. Give us your assessment of why Larry Bullock won when Mayor Washington put his prestige on the line. That's a local race, and it's not black or white.
I understand he was there for the last 4 days. And I guess involved with the police and the U.S. Attorney's Office himself yesterday, election day. I did not participate in that election. I was not in that district. I stayed out of that district. I'm disappointed in the mayor that he did not endorse the nominee of the primary. The only opportunity that I had in a disputed race to participate was in the district adjacent to it, where Juan Solis, who ran against the organization, won in the primary and was being challenged by a member of the 25th Ward Regular Democratic Organization. We had a conference, we resolved it, and I prevailed upon all parties to support the nominee of the primary. It's unfortunate what happened in that district. I think that the mayor has better things to do concerning the problems that we have with the city than participate in a local district election. I don't know what happened that day. The people of the district apparently decided that Mr. Bullock should be their state representative once again. What effect that has upon the mayor's prestige or why he did it, or they'll have to determine. I'm not going to get involved in that one.
But
yes?
That's where he put his prestige on the line. He did more than go down there in one day and talk about...
Well, he had Mr. McLean. Mr. McLean was the campaign manager for Ms. Jones. I put my prestige and myself on the line every time there's an election. I put my prestige and myself on the line for Walter Mondale. He still left the city of Chicago with 300+ thousand votes. He left Cook County with approximately 30. It was not the margin that I had sought, but if you'd like to look at the statistics of the 10th Ward, Walter Mondale had 18,523 to 9,663 to Ronald Reagan, and my prestige was on the line. I can only do that in that geographical boundary as the mayor did in that district.
Alderman, you said that more whites than blacks voted for Walter Mondale within Cook County as a whole. What was the case within the city of Chicago?
I don't have those numbers yet, but it may well be that that in the city of Chicago, I think it's very close. I think it's very close.
Are not blacks perhaps the single largest group now? In this year, will you proclaim Democratic victory in determining the success of Democratic candidates in Chicago?
In Chicago, did more in the top. I don't have the figure here.
You lost 14 wards to Reagan.
Yes, we did.
All of them were.
We did not lose 14 wards to
Reagan.
To Percy.
You lost six wards to Percy.
Did the black vote in the city of Chicago come out in a higher percentage for Democratic candidates? Yes, they did.
But that's the point that they're making, Mr. Chairman, and
the point that I am making.
Blacks carried their wards in both races very heavily for Mr. Simon and Mr. Mondale, whereas you did not.
Well, the 10th ward's totals are Simon 20,000 to Percy 8,000. I think that Paul Simon did not carry in approximately five other wards in the city.
Eddie.
Now let me follow up. Let me say this to you. Let's get back to this. Let's get back one step further. The black vote in the city of Chicago, the county of Cook, state of Illinois, and around the country has traditionally voted for the past two decades, approximately in the 90th percentile for Democratic candidates in general elections. Now, that's been a given. The Democratic voters in the townships of Cook County have never, ever, until this election, given support to everyone except the presidential candidate of 40% or more, from Paul Simon all the way down through the sanitary district to each and every one of our candidates.
Alderman,
that never happened before.
And did you tell me, Alderman,
yes,
what the role of Mayor Washington was, if there was any, in electing Paul Simon?
I think Mayor Washington played an important role. I think every voter, Hispanic, black, white, that voted for Paul Simon and for the Democratic ticket played an important role. And without all of this, all of us together, he could not have been elected. And I think Mr. Simon said that himself more than once. And I would like to refer back to Mr. Kay's point, the one district where there had to be a choice by voters in the district between two candidates, two black candidates, the choice and nominee and selection of Mayor Washington did not prevail.
Alderman, your friend Ed Burke said that the poor showing in white ethnic areas of Walter Mondale shows that the National Democratic Party is out of step with what the voters of today want, that the voters are more conservative and the party better get in line with what the voters of today want.
Well, I think that the consensus has been, not just by Alderman Burke, but by national reporters, is that in the past 20 years, the Democratic Party, the National Democratic Party, you have to distinguish that, has only once had a president in 20 years. And that was Jimmy Carter, after Watergate. And that was a very tight race with President Ford. That's the only time that we've had a Democratic president. And the National Democratic Party, apparently, and we're going to get into this not at this meeting, but over the next several weeks, when all of us sit down together and start meeting with people, not only locally but around the country, apparently does not have mainstream America as part of its platform considerations. I think Walter Mondale, as a nominee of our party, would have made a great president. I think he's a good man. I think he'd have been good for all people in this country. And I think he could have made great contributions. I think that the image and perception of the National Democratic Party and the platform, some of the platforms that we have espoused, and some of the things that we don't have in the platform, which I will go into in a couple of weeks, has caused people not to leave the Democratic Party nationally, but the Democratic Party nationally to leave the people.
Where did Walter Mondale go wrong?
Pardon?
Where did Walter Mondale go wrong?
Well, I don't know if he went wrong. You had a very popular, personally popular president, Ronald Reagan, and he is personally popular, who had practically no shirt tail effect whatsoever. He lost in Illinois. We defeated a three-time incumbent senator, Charles Percy, who Ronald Reagan came here again, as in that instance, and put his personal prestige on the line and asked people to vote for Percy, and he needed Percy. He needed Chuck, were the words in Washington. Well, he might be able to find a spot for him now, but he's not going to be a U.S. senator. So the shirt tail effect, the difference is monumental when you look at the numbers with a Reagan landslide. And in fact, in Illinois, it looks like right now with about 90... 90-